Welcome to Dad Life with Foz. My name's Luke Forrest, aka Foz. Alongside my beautiful partner Emily, I'm about to become a new dad, and I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. So instead of doing the research privately, I thought I'd invite some of my mates along who've done this all before. And hopefully, along the way, I'm going to work out what the hell I'm doing when this baby is born. Once again, we are back here at Royal Stacks, big sponsor of our podcast. Danny here does a wonderful job, and cheers for putting in such a good effort and looking after us.
Amazing. It's been incredible. 10 episodes with their support in this great podcast studio and great burger. So, yeah, thanks to Danny and the team.
And we've got to episode 10, and we finally got a professional in the studio. So we've had footballs, we've had boxers, we've had reality TV stars. But now we actually do have a professional. We've got Sarah. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Gianetta.
Fantastic.
Sounds like an Italian dessert. Your Instagram handle, the.midwifemummy. There you go. Get around it. And you are a doula?
Yep. So I am a registered midwife. I'm a registered nurse. I'm a childbirth educator and a doula.
Now.
And a mum.
I didn't actually know what a doula was.
I don't either.
Explain to us. What is a doula?
So basically a doula is someone that you can hire that is your support person throughout your whole pregnancy, your labour and your birth and your postpartum time.
Okay.
So they're there for that, you know, education, that emotional, physical, spiritual support. And it's a little bit different to, you know, hiring a private midwife or an obstetrician, because a midwife and an obstetrician will work within the system and has to follow policies and all of that kind of stuff, whereas your doula is, you've hired your doula for you. So they are just purely your support. They are your advocate. Just like the whole, throughout the whole spectrum, they're just there for you and what you want and to advocate for you and your partner.
Wow. You should have maybe had one of these.
Well, I was just thinking. I've got my partner in here, Emily. I forgot to introduce
her. Emily's here.
Hey, guys.
And it's taken us till she's 34 weeks to realise she could have had some support along the way.
All she's had is this rubbish podcast, which hasn't helped anybody.
I'm just so grateful that you finally got a professional in here, Luke. You said no to birthing classes. I'll do a podcast instead. So now's the chance to actually learn something. I'm excited.
Look, it's never too late. Okay. And a lot of people don't really know what their options are during pregnancy. A lot of people don't know what a doula is.
So. And what about this? Like, people say 40 weeks is the average cycle for a birth. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Can people see my eyes roll?
Oh, the eye roll.
Where did that 40 weeks come from?
Exactly. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. Oh, that's the million-dollar question, you know. Yeah. And do you know how they, you know, come up with that 40 weeks?
No idea.
So it's a little bit different for IVF, but with a natural conception, the first question that you generally get asked is, what was the first day of your last period?
Mm.
Are you pregnant on the first day of your last period? No.
Don't ask me because I don't have a period.
No. So that's where they come up with that 40 weeks is from the first day of your last period, where generally a lot of women or every woman would conceive 2 weeks after that, which is when women would ovulate. Okay. And that's where you would get the 42 weeks from.
Okay, so expect to be pregnant for 42 weeks. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, yes.
Oh, there you go, Em. We got another 8 weeks.
Strap yourself in.
We actually did IVF, so we're a little bit different. Yeah.
And so it's interesting with IVF because your 40 weeks would count from the day of conception.
Yes.
Yeah, so your 40 weeks is like my 42 weeks.
Okay.
Okay, so better chance of coming closer to 40 than 42?
Much better.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. That's good news.
Well, I've got this is great, because this can lead me to something, because I think that pregnancy is too short. I think women should be pregnant for around 18 months.
Yeah, it's maybe because you don't get pregnant.
What are you talking about?
Well, we went to see a friend's baby, and when it's born, it's basically a potato sack, let's be honest.
Yeah.
It doesn't do a whole lot.
No.
Right, so...
Well,
Why doesn't it could come out a little later with a bit of a personality, or you could have it in an egg and you could incubate it.
Yeah. So we just strap a watermelon onto Luke for maybe for 3 months, and then
people have done that. Yeah.
A pregnancy suit is a way to empathise, isn't it?
Oh, and perhaps, my gosh!
Perhaps Foz could wear one of those for an extra 9 months.
Yeah.
What is the? I guess, but the idea, I guess, you're saying. Why, regardless of the extra time that Emily might have to carry your baby, little one, you're saying, why can't the baby pop out with a personality? Is that your main concern?
That's my main concern.
I'm not sure that this is your jurisdiction.
You don't have to answer that.
The newborn stage is the best. Like, I'll have newborns, 0 to 6 weeks any day.
Now, you've got two kids as well?
Yes.
6 and 2.5?
Yeah.
And one on the way?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Busy, busy.
And then when you're not looking after yours, you're looking after everyone else's.
I am, and I love it.
When did you know you wanted kids for the first time?
Well,
you didn't want the first one?
I didn't plan any of them. The universe just happened to say, you're ready for this one. So my youngest brother was born when I was 10. And so I was just so fascinated during my mum's pregnancy and when my little brother was born. And, you know, breastfeeding, and I was like his second mum, even till when he was 10 years old and I was 18, he was sleeping in my bed and I was taking him to school, and me and my older brother, we would feed him and change him and put him to sleep when he was a baby. So I think it started from there.
Did you always know you wanted to be a midwife?
I think from that moment, I always knew that I wanted to do something like that. And then when I got to, you know, in high school and you have to figure out what you want to do, I knew I wanted to be something about the body and how it works and that kind of stuff. So my mum's like, well, you know, you could be a nurse or you could be a midwife. And I was like, oh, what's a midwife? And then she told me about that, and I'm like, yep, that's exactly what I want to do. And from the second I started my midwifery course, I fell in love.
Awesome. Yeah, because I watched a few of your Instagrams. You are very passionate.
I
love
passionate,
it.
Yes. I like that word because some people don't use that. And I'm like, no, I think I'm just very passionate.
And what other words did I use?
I think that I have, if there's a spectrum and this is very medical and this is very natural, I think I'm more towards the natural side.
Right, okay.
I don't think a lot of people understand my perception of how I view, you know, pregnancy and birth. Yeah.
Now, because you are a big advocate for hypnobirthing,
I'm a very big advocate for hypnobirthing, for physiological birth, for home birth.
Yep.
All of that kind of just goes into.
And why is that? What are the positives for you as far as home births? What do you need for a home birth? Is it just one of those shell pulls?
A home birth?
Jesus, mate.
No, I'm joking.
All you need is...
You don't get it at Kmart. You don't... Sorry.
I love it because I really want to know what are your thoughts.
For a home birth?
Yeah,
all you need is a home and a pregnant person.
Oh, you've got both of those.
That is a great answer.
Yeah.
Foz and Emily are going to be nervous to ask this because I'm sure they've already got a plan in place. But if they decided at the last minute now, how close are you, Emily?
I've got 6 weeks to go.
6 weeks to go that they would go.
If I'm going to go at 40 weeks, the big question.
Right. Well, however long it is, let's go with home birth. Let's just change our plan. Is it too late? Could they do it?
100%. It's never too late to change your birth plan, to change your provider, anything. It's never too late.
Oh, food for thought.
It's okay. We love our obstetrician, Peter Neal, so it's fine. We're not really bad. Back on your question, Luke, what are the benefits of a home birth?
So, firstly, in terms of, you know, the big picture, only the last two generations would have been birthing in a hospital. Mm. And that's something a lot of people don't kind of think about until it's brought up. But if you go and ask your grandparents how they experienced birth for themselves or when they were younger, this is the question I love asking when I meet older people, and I've asked my grandparents and my partner's grandparents, and when they were younger, their parents were just at home having their baby. That was the norm back then. hospitals were not really a thing for birth until, you know, again, in the big scheme of things, very recently. But lots of studies have shown that for low-risk women, home birth is safe, if not safer than hospital birth.
Because my initial thought would be, what if something goes wrong? And
yeah, I think that's everyone's initial thought. But what makes you think something's going to go wrong?
Oh, no, this is a question.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because just quickly, a friend of mine, Julianne Longano, who's a podcast host and works in recruitment, she famously got on the news. She was on 7 News. She was headline news one night because she didn't make it into the actual room. She gave birth in the lift of the hospital.
Oh, wow.
She didn't get there.
So she might as well have had it at home.
And that's kind of like a home birth. I mean, it's the lift of a hospital. But you know, her little one was perfectly healthy. I mean, I think you can just pop them out anywhere.
Well, yeah, that's it. And well, I think you're a bit... Oh, she's laughing. You pop them out here. Do not have the baby in this podcast.
Oh, that would be a great sponsorship for Royal Stacks.
Yeah, I'll get my gloves. I got them in the car.
You I would trust. Byron, maybe not so much. But you're sort of mid-range. You like the idea of natural.
Well, my understanding is, you know, being pregnant, it's not a disease. It's not like I've got cancer or a medical problem. This is something that is done for centuries, often back at home. I am still going to have this baby in a hospital.
Gotcha. Yeah, sure.
But I would love to know some ways that I can incorporate, you know, some of those home birth techniques into the hospital setting. Is that possible?
Again, I think it really comes down to mindset and just understanding how your body is working and what your body is doing and really, really feeling that I don't need someone to be there to have my baby. All I need is myself and my body and my baby.
What about Luke?
Possibly baby.
I like you didn't include Luke in those key things that she needs.
What can Luke do?
Well, that was
Support people are, you know, more than important. And I think especially for dads, this is something that I talk about a lot with my doula clients and partners, especially when they're a little bit, I guess, nervous about what role they're going to play and how they're going to support their partner. And I don't know really what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do. Firstly, that's where birthing classes come in.
Oh, okay.
But secondly, it's you literally just being there and having your presence and your energy there for her. And you don't have to say or do anything, but you physically just being there for her is like more than enough.
Perfect. Because Em told me to bring my board shorts to the birth and I thought, what are we, I'm going to Cali Beach Club, you know. What am I going to be doing in my board shorts?
Why do you want him to do that?
Because I want to incorporate water.
Great
pain management technique. Yeah. And I was like, look, I might need you in the shower. I could be in there for hours. I could be in that shell pool, but like I need you in your body.
Is that the sort of thinking? That's like a cool way to think about it. Like have a think of what sort of support you want, no matter how, you know, different it might seem. Like if that's what you want, great, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I tell this to everyone, bring your board shorts.
Well, that's it.
Anything else he should bring apart from snacks? I know he needs snacks, board shorts.
Massage oil, lots of massaging.
Yep.
I find that all my clients, when I'm there, the main thing I'm doing is massaging mum's back.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And not the sports bet up?
No, put your sports bet away, your points bet, your Ladbrokes.
Because we've had polar opposites. I think we had Gorney, who I don't think did a whole lot besides trying to tell jokes in the birthing suite. And then we had Josh, who actually delivered the baby.
That's right. We've had all the extremes with our guests, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
Now, Sarah, can we just go back to the actual labour?
Yeah.
So I think Luke thinks that my waters are going to break. There's going to be water everywhere. And then I'm going to be screaming in pain. He's going to drive me to the hospital. And then baby comes out. That doesn't happen all the time, does it?
No. Again, it's probably, you know, a lot of the things that we know about labour and birth is what we see in TV shows and movies, and it is the total opposite of that. Like, it's so theatrical and dramatised in TV and movies. So forget everything you think you know and book into a birth class.
Is it a bit late?
It's not. No. Okay. I've taught couples at like 38, 39 weeks.
Really? Wow. When should we actually be starting birth prep?
I honestly think like prior to...
She's 30 weeks in.
Oh, no, 34, though.
Ideally, prior to when you are pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. And I think it comes from, and it's maybe not what you think it is, I think being very aware of your body and being very in tune with your body and how you feel, and that might even start from your, like, your cycles and your period. How to read our body, how do I feel, tuning in. And then during pregnancy, really tune in, increasing that connection with your body and your baby the whole way through your pregnancy. If you are very in tune with your body and your baby during pregnancy, it makes it so much easier for you to make decisions and be very confident about the decisions that you make during your pregnancy.
Big decision. Epidural versus no epidural.
I'm banking your no epidural.
I'm not, like, again, I'm not totally against hospitals and I'm not against, you know, intervention. I'm not against, like, medical pain relief. It's, you know, I think, again, just being educated on the pros and the cons and how, you know, different things can possibly affect your labor and birth. And then going by, like, what are your birth goals? Do you have any birth goals? What's your dream birth look like? Have you...
She wants fairy lights. I know that.
Have you, like, envisioned how you would want your perfect birth to be?
I've got birth preferences that I've written down. I'm not doing a birth plan. I feel like there's more room for failure if it's a concrete plan. So just a few birth preferences.
I prefer birth preferences as the name.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's interesting to work on that, because I must admit those two words have never been put together in 9 episodes of this podcast. Birth preferences. But this is gold. I mean, Foz certainly doesn't have any birth preferences other than he wants the kid to be in there for an extra 9 months. That's his only preference.
Our preference is a healthy baby with a personality.
That's right.
I think you've already got that down pat.
But should they be more specific? I mean, as a thought, as a challenge or just an idea, like maybe envisage a bit more of what the ideal scene looks like.
Yeah, I think you have to have birth goals. And it doesn't matter, you know, when I got pregnant with my second, as soon as I knew I was pregnant, I'm like, I'm having a home birth in my ensuite in my bathtub. Like, that was my birth goals. That's what I, if I closed my eyes and envisioned what my birth would look like, that's exactly what it looked like.
Is that how it turned out?
Exactly.
How it turned out, okay.
And so, again, it makes it very easy for me to make decisions during my pregnancy when I know that I want that type of birth. And again, it might not be everyone's dream birth, and that's perfectly fine because every woman is going to be different, every pregnancy is going to be different, every labor and birth is going to be different. So I think it's important to know what you want in your birth so then you can go towards that goal.
Yeah.
Can you just wing it?
No.
No. Okay. Good answer. Thank you.
You too. But no, but you do you like the board shorts and all that? But what about, like, guys, music? If you two,
yeah,
about
we're doing
music?
A playlist. Still top hoods.
So we've got a we're working on a calm playlist for the first stage of labour.
Into a,
and then we've got something, you know, to really rev it up for
more high energy, deeper house.
Are you available to DJ?
have you had some clients that will be quite specific about music?
So in the hypnobirthing course I teach, we give hypnobirthing tracks that are included. So they're hypnosis tracks that are included. And then I also say, you know, make a playlist of your favorite songs as well. Whatever's going to boost that oxytocin, because that's the most important thing during your labor and birth, is having a undisturbed flow of oxytocin.
Okay. Something else I want to mention. The noises that a lady in labour makes.
Love
okay,
it.
So Luke.
Hang on, I'm going to leave this part. Can you order me a burger?
I've tried to explain to Luke that I might make some loud noises and maybe he could join in.
It is no different to normal. You make some strange noises just in general.
Yeah, do some like deep breathing together. But yeah, it's. Birth is very raw and animalistic, and so a lot of women, not every woman, but lots of women will make noise during their birth. And it might just be like humming or ahhing.
Now, what would you say the most important thing with giving birth is? Is it mindset?
100%.
Okay.
It's 80% mindset and 20% mechanics. And so, that's from this other midwife. Her name is Martina. On Instagram, she's Confessions of a Midwife. And if I could, like, shadow anyone, I would want to shadow her. But that's what she says.
Okay.
80% mindset, 20% mechanics. It's like a marathon, like sports people. It's 80% mindset for them and 20% their, like, training and physical stuff.
Okay.
And how would you train for a marathon? You wouldn't just rock up on the day and wing it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
We're not freaking Emily out, are you?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of my, you know, couple
you've got of so walks you've got enough. You've got not a long time to go, but you've got plenty of time to go to do heaps more prep, and I'm more than happy to help with that if you want.
Well, you're talking about mindset and mechanics.
Mm.
We've just been told that our baby has a really, really big head. And I'm wide,
and
like,
small legs. Could be a good surfer. What do you reckon?
I don't really care what they say on ultrasounds,
really?
To be honest.
Because I'm just picturing this big head and where it's going to come out of, and my mindset about that's not probably where it should be. Don't worry about it, okay?
No. I don't pay much attention to the ultrasounds either, to be honest. No. Like, I don't.
They're not very accurate at all.
Really?
Well, there you go.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, and especially in terms of, like, how big or small your baby's going to be, it can be plus or minus 500 grams.
Oh, okay. That's a fair bit.
Which is a lot when you're talking about it, like a 3-4 kilo baby.
That's a decent steak.
Half a kilo.
500 grams.
It is.
Isn't it? It's a fair bit.
It's a double stack.
Yeah, well, there's an idea, and there's also an idea that you've got to give up certain things when you're pregnant, like physical exercise, lifestyle, alcohol, all that sort of stuff. Is that proven, or is that just something that we've come to over the last few decades, like you said? Because my mum actually didn't give up. I was an accident. She didn't give up alcohol, anything.
Well, she didn't know she was pregnant.
Yeah, sorry, I must go back. She didn't know she was pregnant.
Right.
And I turned out fine.
Well.
I think.
Interesting.
So alcohol, I would stay away from.
Yeah.
A glass of red wine for dinner here and there.
So
I don't know if I should be saying that.
That's all right, yeah.
But in terms of, like, exercise and stuff, whatever you were doing pre-pregnancy is fine to do during pregnancy. You're not going to go from not going to the gym and running, you know, 10Ks and lifting weights to then doing that as soon as you find out you're pregnant. Yeah. So if you were doing exercise prior, that's fine. Just continue.
And as far as foods and all that, like raw meat, steer clear of them.
Oh, again, are they stopping, you know, are they going to stop eating sashimi in Japan when they're pregnant?
Yeah, never That's even thought of that.
In Italy, are they going to stop eating, you know, salami and prosciutto during their pregnancy?
It's a fair point.
These are all valid points.
Yeah, they're all very valid.
They're very fair questions. Yeah. But the mainstream medicine, Western or Australian, would say don't touch those foods.
Yeah, so the main places where women or where there is foodborne illnesses is in produce.
Okay.
Yet we're not telling women to stop eating fruit and vegetables. I think as long as things are fresh, like you wouldn't eat like a platter of sandwiches that have been sitting out for half of the day. Like that's just common sense.
Or like a calamari at Swan Hill Pub or something like that in the middle of Australia.
Yeah. But there's no way I'm going to stop eating my nonno's homemade salami.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
There you go.
No way.
Okay, I've got some more questions now. So we've delivered the baby. Now we're home with the baby. So Luke has made it very clear that he wants to help feed, which I think is amazing. Thanks, Dale.
Yeah.
I want to breastfeed if I can. But how do we incorporate bottle and breast and all of that together?
I think once you've established your breastfeeding, then introducing a bottle is generally okay. One here and there would be fine. And, you know, this breastfeeding education is something I believe is really important to do during your pregnancy. And so there are lots of lactation consultants that can do breastfeeding classes with you guys during your pregnancy. So if you do want to breastfeed, doing a breastfeeding class is going to be really, really helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. And then if you want to, you know, talk about those things, like I want to introduce a bottle here and there, then they can give you like that plan on when and how, you know, the best time to do that. Yeah, I don't think dads feeding a bottle is, I think a lot of them, they're just like, oh, well, I want to do something, so I want to, you know, give my baby a bottle so we can bond. But feeding your baby is not the only way you can bond with your baby.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. And so establishing your breastfeeding in the first couple of weeks, few weeks, is the most important thing for your whole breastfeeding journey.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if it's not a bottle, what's some other ideas of how Luke could bond or new dads bond with Bubs?
Yeah, so anything apart from breastfeeding is what you can do. Like, yeah, it's literally everything. When you finish feeding, you know, dad can burp baby or go for a walk with baby. A lot of dads will do the bath and bedtime routine. So there's heaps. Yeah. Skin to skin is beautiful.
Oh, geez, I'm getting excited now.
Great though. But this is so useful. I mean, this is so unlike this podcast.
Oh, I know. It's actually a little too educational.
It's weird. It's we're learning actual things, and I've just realised something. It's episode 10 of the season's over. You shouldn't have hosted it. Emily should have. How much better is she?
She's so good.
But there's nothing wrong with giving a bottle.
Okay, awesome.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Now, as far as burst, is it one in every three women experience trauma at birth?
Yeah, one in three women at the moment will describe their birth as traumatic.
Okay. And what are the sort of things that happen?
I believe it is the woman not feeling in control of the decisions that she's making and feeling like she's a passenger in her birth rather than the actual driver. And then she's having things happen to her and doesn't understand what is happening. And she's just come out of this birth, you know, not understanding what's happened. She's just been given her baby and not had any control over anything, or maybe even being separated from her baby straight after birth. And that really impacts the way mum and baby bond and that oxytocin that's there, and would cause that, you know, feeling like they've had a traumatic birth experience.
I suppose that's another reason to do the hypnobirthing or do a home birth.
Yeah, so I would say that most traumatic birth experiences would happen in a hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. And you made an interesting point about the ultrasound, like how it's not necessarily that 100%. How would you monitor throughout the pregnancy? There was other ways other than ultrasounds.
So being in tune with your body and your baby. So if I was to ask you right now, how is your baby doing today? Being like, yeah, good, I think. I don't know. You should be like, yeah, they're moving. Yeah, so they're moving heaps today.
Yeah, he's just on a right hook into my rib, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, and being like, oh, I'm feeling the kicks up here, but like at this time of the day, they're quiet. But as soon as I go lie down for a nap, they're so active. And then at night, they're kicking me here and rah rah. And baby's in this position, and I'm feeling so much more pressure because baby's moved down. Okay. And again, when you are very in tune with your body and your baby, you know them 100%. And so no one should be telling you, I'll tell you how your baby is, or I'll tell you if you are okay or not. I'll tell you if you are in labor or not. I'll tell you when it's ready for you to push.
Okay. Speaking of trauma, and I know we've had some guests that did have some tearing. This is a big fear of mine. I'm sorry, this is too much information for Luke.
Carly went full banger on it. So,
yeah, you know, and I think it is a fear of a lot of women. Is tearing, and is there things that we can do? Is it about being just in tune with your body, or, you know, is there things, or we're just going to tear, we're going to tear?
So tearing is a natural part of birth.
Ouch.
And our vagina and perineum, the parts that stretch when baby's coming out, is designed to stretch, to tear, and to heal very quickly and efficiently. The thing that you want to try and prevent is those larger tears that are going to affect the anal sphincter, and they're the third and fourth degree tears. But normal tears, majority of women will have some kind of tear after birth, and it is very, very, very normal. So there's nothing I can do to prepare or...
What are you thinking, like a stretching exercise or something?
Is there anything I can do to prepare?
You stay away.
So things like not birthing on your back is okay. The main one.
Okay.
When you're on your back, you have a lot more pressure on your perineum during the birth.
Yeah.
And you also decrease the size of your pelvis. So you decrease the space where baby has to come out if you are laying on your back, which increases the risk of those larger tears.
Okay. Get me off my back, Luke.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Being in the water, when we are warm, our blood vessels dilate and it makes it easier for tissues to stretch.
Do most hospitals offer water births? Like, can you birth in water in bathtubs in hospitals or not?
If there's a bathtub, you will be able to birth in the bath. Some hospitals may have a policy, and it's more so private hospitals that may have a policy of you can labour in the bath, but we prefer you not to birth in the bath.
Speaking of water births, how does the baby breathe? You know how like their head's in the water? Yeah. Like,
haven't they been up? They're pretty much in water in there, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
well, thanks,
Expert. Even I knew that. Come on, darling.
Yeah, no.
Can they drown? Like,
no. So babies, their breathing reflex will kickstart when their face hits cool air. So they, it's a very gentle birth when babies are born in the water because, like you just said, they're in water and they go into more water. So a lot of babies don't even know that they've been born. They won't take a breath until they've come up in the air, and then that will kind of create this chemical reaction in their body, and then they will take a breath.
Okay. Wow. This has been so educational today. I'm stoked.
My brain just exploded.
All right. Let's get back to some uneducational stuff. Okay. Oh, we got it now. Now, these are from some of our guests. So we've got one here from Max Gorn, one here from Aaron Sipos, and one here from Carly Bauer. So we're going to play these little grabs, and I want your opinions on if it's right or if it's wrong.
Yeah, this first one is from, I don't know if you're a footy fan, but he's an AFL superstar from the Melbourne Demons. He's one of the best players there is.
I showed my partner your Instagram, and I'm like, oh, he's had all these people. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's everyone from Maths.
There were two Maths people. Max Gorn was not on Maths, but Max Gorn plays in Melbourne.
But my partner was like, oh, my God, there's all these footy players. And I was like, yeah, okay.
Great. Well, this is Max Gorn. Now, Max Gorn shared with Foz, this was a what he believes is an urban myth around cutting the cord. He believes this is a blanket rule for everybody and that the whole thing is a giant scam. So listen.
I can tell you one now that's a myth buster.
Yeah.
The cutting of the cord.
Myth buster.
You cut the cord, yeah. But I'm 10 metres away from Jess when I cut it. They've obviously cut it and then brought me over for this novelty little 10-centimetre cut that's already been cut. It's like, so let's say the cord's 3 metres long.
Yeah, yeah.
They've cut it and then brought the baby and a metre long of the cord over here and just let me cut a cord. Like,
really?
It wasn't really a moment at all.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So there's a photo of me doing cutting the cord with Jess nowhere, not even attached.
Is that common? Is he actually talking any sense there?
Was his baby born via cesarean?
Yeah.
So normally the cord will be cut as babies come out from the obstetrician and then dads will generally trim the cord.
Okay. So the dads don't really need to do it.
So delayed cord clamping is something else that's really, really important that I would look into. Okay. When babies are born, 1/3 of their blood volume is still in the cord and the placenta.
Wow. But how delayed are we talking? Like, I don't want to be sitting there with the placenta to my right and to my chicken palm, it's the left, you know, like how?
Oh, no. So the placenta's still inside when your baby's born.
Okay.
Your placenta is still attached to your uterus.
Yes. So when are we clamping the cord?
You
minutes
ideally,
later or hours?
Ideally, you want to wait until the cord has stopped pulsing. So when your baby's born, if you feel the umbilical cord, you'll feel a pulse. And it's giving your baby all of its blood.
Okay.
And then there's no real time limit because every woman and placenta and baby is going to be different. But you want to wait for the cord to stop pulsing and the cord to look white and stringy. And that means your baby has got all their blood. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I've got that. I've got that under control.
You got that?
Yeah.
Do dads need to worry about all this ceremonial cut the cord stuff? Is it sort of, it's cute, but is it necessary?
I think it's like symbolism of, you know, bringing your baby and separating them
into the world.
Yeah.
Great.
So it can be nice.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Now, this is Aaron Sipos, NFL superstar. This is about birthing classes.
Oh, his attitude. And this is the same attitude we've had from every single guest in this entire podcast.
Did you do birthing classes? Did they help you at all?
Shit.
I reckon every single person said it's over they bore. I think so, one person's done
it. We did it, and yeah, it was like a baby 101, and they tell you, oh, this is the lead up, and this is what you're going to get afterwards, and all of that shit goes out the window once that baby's born. It's no joke.
He's an NFL punter. He does very well in life. Lovely bloke.
I can see Sarah getting fired up here.
Is he a bit off mark there, or?
They just didn't get taught by me. That's why.
That was good.
I think from my classes, the feedback that I've got is that dads get a lot more from the classes than mums, to be very honest, because a lot of mums will do a lot of that background research. You've already done your preferences, whereas dads come in totally just blind, and they learn so much about what their partner's body is doing, what's important during the labor and birth, how to best support and advocate for your partner, and what they want their role to be during the birth of their baby. So
can I ask Sarah, what do your birthing classes look like? Is it a weekend? Is it a couple of hours after work?
So at the moment I do a group class each month, which is over two full days. So one Sunday and then the next Sunday. Yeah.
It's well worth thinking about it, tell you what.
Maybe. Don't know. I'll think about it.
You will do what you're told. Yeah. You will do what's requested of you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you want to do the Carly Bauer?
Let's do the Carly one, because this is one that shocked me, actually.
Yeah.
Is this, again, a case of just a quickly cross-checking that this is kind of...
Yeah, we want to cross-check if it's right or not. Yeah.
So the way that they can tell if your water has broken is they make you put a sanitary pad in your underwear.
Okay.
And then they wait like a little bit of time for like some of the like water to come out and soak it. The midwives take the pad and they smell it.
Ooh.
And if it smells like semen, that's what it smells like. That means they know that your water is broken. Yeah, so it actually smells like cum.
That's very prehistoric the hell they do that, isn't it?
Is there not a more modern way to...
So like, I had this midwife standing there.
Surely like a rat test or something.
She didn't tell me that that's why she was doing it.
True or false?
You were laughing then a lot. You were smiling and laughing.
It's true, and that's probably the nicer way to test if a woman's waters have ruptured rather than doing a speculum exam and swabbing inside her vagina. The smelling part of it, I haven't personally done, but I do know a lot of midwives that would. There is a distinct difference between urine and amniotic fluid, and I can come into a room and just smell and be like, her waters are broke. Like, you can smell it.
Well, there you go.
Carly has a way with words, doesn't she?
Yeah, I know. She's straight to the point.
She's a radio person. She sort of makes it a bit flowery and talks it up a bit.
Well, you have to have that, like, you have to know what the other one smells like to know if it smells the same, don't you?
That's true. Well, look, no comment.
I'm not entirely sure what semen smells like.
So. Okay, mate.
Sorry, okay. Anyway. Now, we're going to go to socials. We've got a few questions for socials for you. You ready?
Yeah.
This is from JC23. Is falling asleep acceptable for the man whilst their partner is giving birth?
If there's another support person and your partner's been in labour for a very long time, I think having a little cat nap is okay as long as your partner is supported. If there's no one else there, then I'm sorry. She's awake. You have to stay awake.
Hang in there.
And what's a very long time? You know, if I've been in labour for 4 hours, that's not a time to have a nap yet, Dale. So okay. What...
Oh. Yeah, give me a time frame when I can have a nap.
Mate, just stay awake.
I don't label anything as normal or short or long because every woman's going to be different. But generally, like, after being awake for 24 hours, it's quite a long time to be awake. You're going to be tired.
I mean, if I've done it partying, I can do it in a later.
Exactly.
You've ended up at 161 at 5 in the morning. You can stay awake in a hospital.
All right, this is from Emily Adams. Can sex help you prepare for birth?
Yes, it can.
Okay. Great question. Yes.
Great question, Emily. You sure that wasn't you? With your alias name?
Do you want me to explain?
Yes, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So, well, there's a few ways how it can help prepare. Firstly, when we have sex, when we have an orgasm, it's strengthening our pelvic floor, which is what is essentially supporting our uterus and our baby. Secondly, we release massive amounts of oxytocin when we have sex and have an orgasm. Oxytocin is the main hormone in labor and birth, the most important hormone.
That makes sense.
And men's semen has a very high concentration of a hormone called prostaglandin, and that helps to work on the cervix to help soften it and get it ready for labor.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah. You can really, this is a role you can really play here.
I can actually play that role.
You'd be doing a wonderful, you'd be really contributing.
Yeah.
So can it actually bring on labor, or is that just an old wives' tale? That
I don't think anything can bring on labor if the body is not ready.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So not a curry or anything? Like,
I think that's the worst, like, the worst thing to do to bring on your labor. Like, why would you want to have a stomach ache the whole day and be sitting on the toilet and be uncomfortable?
Yeah, that's stupid. That was stupid.
Very true.
Yeah.
This is from CharlieH19. Do you need a midwife there to do a home birth?
You do not need anything to birth your baby besides from a baby, your body, and a vagina. If you have all of that, you can birth your baby. You do not need anything else. And again, mindset. So that's something, you know, what can I do to prepare myself even, you know, in hospital? Is do not outsource your care to anyone else but yourself. You are first. So, again, in tune with your body and your baby, you make your decisions. You know, like, in your soul, I only need myself to birth my baby. I have my obstetrician and I'm in the hospital for support, but I do not need it to have my baby.
Well, thanks for coming in.
That's all right.
We really appreciate it.
Unbelievable.
That was actually a dead set, the most most informative podcast we've done.
Oh, I'm glad.
And this is the bit where you're meant to make sure that we promote all the services that you offer. So anyone who's heard this, particularly dads who've been listening to all this whole series, they now go, well, here's an actual resource. Like, how can people hit you up and find you? And for example, these classes, which I know Emily and Foz are actually thinking about doing now over a weekend or the 2 days.
Yeah.
How can people reach out to you?
So I'm on Instagram at the.midwifemummy. My website is up and coming. It's been up and coming for like 6+ months.
Sure. You got a bit on.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I am not taking on any doula clients for the rest of this year because I'll be on mat leave. But next year, I'll be coming in hot.
Literally. A bit like what Foz and Emily are going to be up to over the next few weeks.
Thank you to my darling Emily. Few weeks to go and we'll have a kid. Thank you very much for buying for helping out with the first series. We'll come back when I'm actually a dad. And we might actually get you back in again after getting 9 episodes of shit information again.
More than happy.
Would you be available for like a 10-episode series? Just you. I'm just calling Max Gorn to cancel him for next series.
No, thank you, really appreciate it. And
no problem. I don't want to say good luck because it's not about luck. You just know that you can do it and you will do it. It's all mindset, like literally. If you believe that you can do it, you can do it.
Roger that. Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's go, guys.
Let's go.
Love you guys.